I'm just too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy? Look at me, I'm white.
Hey, hey! You're listening to the Flapjack of All Nerd Shows, starring your host, Deadpool. We're gonna talk all pancakes all the time.
What the hell is going on here? I do the opening sequence.
Huh? Wait, who's this Joker?
I don't know how you got in here, but it's my job to introduce the Jack of All Nerds show.
Jack of All Nerds? Wait, they don't talk about pancakes?
No!
You gotta be joking with me.
Do I look like I'm joking?
Well, if they don't talk about pancakes, what could they possibly talk about?
They talk about comics, books, movies, gaming, cosplay, pop culture, and a bunch of other nerd stuff.
No pancakes?
You're not all there upstairs, are you?
That's rich. Hey, clown face, you want to go get some pancakes?
I thought you'd never ask. Oh, Harley, pull the car around.
Welcome to the Jack of All Nerds show on Chaotic Radio. I am the Jack of All Nerds, Michael Maxwell. Joining me as always, the man on his cell phone, Mr. Derek Murray.
That's right, guys. Never fully here. Always.
He's my social media coordinator.
It's true.
In that he coordinates on social media with himself. And in the booth tonight, filling in for Mr. John Edis, we have Blaine Humbles from the Blaine Humbles Show.
Hello.
Hello. And John, I don't know if he's listening or not. We wish you well. He had some blood pressure issues, and he is okay, but he's resting at home, and we hope you get a speedy recovery.
Yes.
And joining us in the studio, Mr. Steven Sievers from Super Pirate Booty Hunt.
Super Pirate Booty Hunt! Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
I think that was one of the better intros we've had for anybody.
Yes.
I think that
was...
Well, rock and roll in the high seas.
With some flair.
Yeah. With some flair on it.
I had to follow after the Joker intro.
Yeah, the Joker intro is hard to follow.
So much to live up to.
No.
Even I fail at it. Anyway. tonight on the show, we're going to be talking about... Go ahead, say it.
Do it.
Super Pirate Booty Hunt!
Yes. Like that. All right. We're not allowed to say it for the rest of the show. It's
nope.
Only him.
Nope.
Yeah.
We just have to cue you every
yep.
time. So we're going to be talking about that and some other stuff, but
yes.
Mostly that.
Nerd stuff.
Yes, nerd stuff. All nerd stuff. All the time. No pancakes. Maybe some pancakes.
We did have pancakes recently. Well, I had pancakes recently.
I really want pancakes now.
They're pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
Pancakes with strawberry on it.
Now, look, I'm a diabetic, so I'm not really supposed to have a ton of pancakes like at all, but... We went to Denny's one night, and they had this. It was like peanut butter fudge pancakes.
Oh,
but
geez.
This is the description. It was pancakes with white chocolate and chocolate chips in the pancakes, covered with a peanut butter and chocolate fudge drizzle. And so I ordered them. I didn't want the drizzle. I just wanted pancakes with white chocolate chips in them. Like for some reason that sounded good, like a giant fluffy cookie. And so I was like, can I get this without the drizzle? And the without the peanut butter or the chocolate fudge. And she looked at me kind of weird, and she was like, okay. And then she basically brought me a grand slam with regular pancakes.
Oh,
she didn't give me anything, and I was just like, damn you, Denny's.
She had to get the syrup-free sugar.
You had to go changing up. You had to go changing
syrup.
Up their pre-made food and shit. How
That's
dare right. you?
I'm pretty diabetic, so I feel your pain. So.
It's not,
not
it's
quite
not
there
cool.
yet, almost.
Well, don't get there.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I'm on meds. Hopefully it keeps it down.
Yeah. What was the name of his show again?
Super Pirate Booty Hunt! I'm going to like lose my voice. It's going to be great.
Blaine totally just wanted
it's
to
It's
like
going to be a drinking game anyone listening. So every time I say it, just take a sip. Or it's funny. I was talking to my friend today. He was like...
Be careful whenever the engineer says, what was that again? Say it one more time because he might be clipping it.
Yeah. Super Pirate Booty Hunt!
He's definitely clipping it.
I know. That's why I'm getting away from the mic.
There you go. You know?
My friend's girlfriend never seen Spaceballs before. And I was like, oh, that was like my favorite drinking game in college. you would watch that every time they said Spaceballs or they had a sexual reference or you saw stars, you had to take a drink.
Beautiful.
And you can see if he lasted the whole movie.
Wait, with all those things combined, I don't know if that's possible to last.
No,
who's the, judge on that?
Whoever's the last to pass out.
Yeah. We used to do that. We would, anytime we wanted to just get absolutely blackout drunk, like we just hated the day and we didn't want to wake up the next. We would play drinking games to Team America World Police.
Oh.
We're just anytime they curse, you would drink. Can't make it 15 minutes into the movie. I don't care how good you are at drinking. Can't do it. Even in my best years, I think I topped out at about 20 minutes. And then you just give up or pass out. That's it. Those are the only options in that movie.
Nice. Well, before we get into this, it's time for sponsors.
Yeah.
You get a little too excited every time.
God, I love it so much.
First, the Etiwanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse!
Conveniently located off the 210 freeway and Day Creek. The Etiwanda Roadhouse, a gathering spot since 1929 or some year. That's their slogan.
Is it?
I keep thinking the Family Guy episode.
Roadhouse. No, that's
where,
exactly
that's where he gets,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
where he gets
absolutely.
His thing from.
Should we be kicking right now?
Yeah, absolutely. That's where I got it from.
It's now become a thing on the show. Yeah. Our listeners send us memes that say Roadhouse. And we've turned it into a verb.
Yeah.
It's
Mike has made it official now on Facebook as it being a verb in the dictionary now.
Yeah, I took a screen print of a screen grab of Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and I took the word roadhouse on there, and I replaced their definition with the verb of what roadhouse means.
That's awesome.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
But yes, the Etiwanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
They have nightly food specials, live entertainment. For more information, go to facebook.com/E Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
And while we're on the subject of Roadhouse.
Yes.
Oh, you're not going to say it?
Roadhouse. There
I gave you an opportunity.
I know.
You failed.
You talked over the other one that I did, though, so I thought you were done with it.
All right, new drinking game. I'm never... We say Roadhouse in the show, and Super Fire Radio! Listeners have to take a drink.
last week on the show... Mr. Adam Redman, who listens like every
yes.
live show, had a question that we didn't get to because we just had so many people in the studio
right.
with us. Wanted to know if you ever intend on doing a Roadhouse cosplay.
I feel he did ask me this. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so have I considered this? Yes. Have I figured out how? No.
Yeah, how would you?
I have no idea.
It's really easy. Mm. Just pick a scene. Go with the Tai Chi scene. You wear some sweatpants and a mullet. That's all you need.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, no. We're gonna have to make some adjustments to the costume and body type. Both I think need work.
As much as I would love to do a Roadhouse cosplay,
yes.
The only character that I could fit would be the short bad guy Brad Wesley. And that's just not cool, is it?
Yeah, no.
That doesn't work.
No. And then there's that whole skin tone thing where, like, they didn't put black people in Patrick Swayze movies, apparently, so...
Well, think of where that movie takes place.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely. There's no place for me in Roadhouse. But it's a great question, and I feel like it's something that I should consider.
So that's no. Anyway, moving right along. Our next sponsor, The Dinner Detective. Enjoy a fabulous four-course meal while solving a hilarious murder investigation.
Dinner Detective.
just doesn't have the same ring to it, Blaine.
But I appreciate the enthusiasm.
Dinner Detective.
All right. You try. Super Fire Pretty Hard, Roadhouse, Dinner Detective.
Put all the phrases together in one.
I hope,
it's a verb.
All the sponsors, I hope you were happy because you were getting literal shout-outs tonight.
It'll be throughout the whole rest of the show.
Anyway, for more information, go to www.thedinnerdetective.com. And if you're purchasing tickets for the Ontario location, use the promo code CRIME to get a $5 discount. And while we're on the subject of this...
This is a great story,
I got my first legitimate death threat... from a person at The Dinner Detective this weekend.
Oh.
There's a bit in the show where we hit on somebody. The detectives hit on a lady, And we do it obnoxiously. It's not in a serious way at all. Like, I'm like, I get up in her face and I'm all like, holla, holla, holla. And
it's ridiculous, it's very funny.
It is ridiculous. And this guy was sitting next to this girl, and when we did it, he got crazy angry face and then like put his arm around her and kind of pulled her closer to him. And the guy who's playing my partner was like, he's like, oh, we better back off because he's getting upset. And so I decided, like, what better way to make it lighthearted than to hit on him as well?
Yes.
And so that's what I did. I was like, oh, no, he's feeling left out. And I walked over and I was like, holla, holla, holla. And everyone laughed. He didn't. And then I went away. And then later in the show, there's a bit where I'm acting like a canine and I'm running around sniffing people. And this was a complete accident, by the way. I happened back at their table, and I do this part where I'm like, I was running around sniffing, found a tree, mark my territory, and I act like I'm pissing on something, like you do. And I did it to her, but I didn't realize that I picked that girl again.
Oh, no.
Until the audience was like dying, and I'm walking away going, why was that so funny? And then I look back, and that guy's just looking like he's going to stab me again, and it was like, Jesus. So the show's over. Everyone's leaving, saying, good job, great show. He's walking out, doesn't say a word to anybody, almost passes me, stops, turns back to me and goes, I would have killed you. And then he smiled like he was trying to make it a joke, but it was like, that was not a joke.
It was not a joke.
Like, everyone that was around me was like, dude, maybe you shouldn't walk to your car by yourself. And I was legitimately scared because this was a big guy, too. It was just like, it was a joke, man. It's a show.
Yeah,
like, I was not hitting on your girlfriend. Oh,
next time,
just
say Roadhouse.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a Roadhouse moment if I've ever heard one.
I didn't legitimately pee on her.
Super Fire Booty Hunt! Oh, I'm on recorded.
Yeah.
There you go. You can save your vocal cords now.
So good. Now you can play forever.
Oh, man.
yes.
Yeah, that's a brilliant story, Mike.
I'll laugh later, I guess, but I was terrified yesterday. Anyway, and our final sponsor, Four Color Fantasies Comic Book Store, located in Rancho Cucamonga, California. For more information, oh, no one's Four Color Fantasies.
Yeah, I was trying to think how to do it.
Like a rock star.
Super Fire Booty Hunt. Four Color Fantasies. Yeah. Oh man.
What really is good? Wow. Oh wow.
I want to rock.
Oh my God. This is going to be a crazy evening. Yeah. I'm going to be nuts.
Anyway, for more information, you can check their website at www.fourcolorfantasies.com with the number 4, or on Facebook, facebook.com/fourcolorfantasies.
Yeah, and that's how we met.
It is.
It is.
Free
yes.
comic book day.
It is. Yeah, we had that special moment, and then I forgot to record it. So
it's all right. It was so much fun being next to you guys that whole time.
We did have a good time.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
You were our biggest fan.
It was, it was great.
And now here I am.
It was great.
How did that day work for you guys?
I mean, it's weird because there's a lot of free comic book days where I live in Orange County, and I've gone to a bunch of in LA, but it's weird how that one gets like 3,000 people. So I've always driven out for it when I can. But yeah, I met him, Chris, a long time ago. I used to run an animation festival for him when he ran a show at the Rose Bowl Flea Market. He had like a comic show there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like all the way down in the locker room. So it's like, oh, this is where like all the people get ready for the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
That's cool. Yeah. But like, it was weird. It was just down a ramp, but I mean, the flea market got about like 7,000 people, but no one wanted to go down the ramp to the comic section.
Yeah,
that sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, free comic day was a lot of fun. It was really
hot. It was
hot,
a lot of fun.
But
yeah,
you guys are all on your cosplay the whole time. Uh-huh. I'm impressed.
Yeah. We don't have to keep bringing it up.
It wasn't.
Guys,
it was actually. It wasn't.
Excuse me. I was cosplaying as a fat radio guy. Thank you.
And really good music.
The only awkward music moment I thought we had was when that Richard Marx song came on.
Hold on to the night.
Yep. I'm just standing there.
That
like,
was it.
This is super awkward right now. Yep. Everyone's looking at us while
like
the song is
everyone
on.
Everyone should be like slow dancing while we wait in line. Well, like, just grab your partner.
Well, and you weren't around, Blaine, and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to change it. And Mike was like, no, don't touch it. Like, I was going to ruin Free Comic Book Day if I changed the song.
No, I didn't want you to break his stuff. I don't know. I've seen how you care for your own things.
I was just going to go fuck yourself.
It was like the one time I walked away.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Because I was monitoring that. I wanted to make sure it wasn't, you know.
Next time, play the Robotech song, To Be In Love Is the Greatest Feeling That a Girl Can Feel.
Clipped.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. But that was. It was a lot of fun. And it was great getting to meet you. And now we have this opportunity to hang out.
Here,
so now, Derek, have you actually watched Super Pirate Booty Hunt?
Oh, no.
I have not.
Super Pirate Booty Hunt!
You clipped a really Drake. Good one, Blaine. That was a good one. I have not had the chance to, but I absolutely will.
Yeah, he was too busy watching all the DVDs
right.
he bought.
Right.
He had no time. He had no time for anything.
No time between doing something and doing nothing for longer.
He had no time to watch a 2-minute video on YouTube.
No.
That he is going to watch on our first commercial break.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a choice.
Yeah.
I can actually watch it twice because usually our first commercial break is 5 minutes. Or half a minute.
We can watch more.
You can watch more than one episode.
Yeah. Oh, we got
10 episodes.
Well, no, I'll just watch one just so I'm really familiar with that one. I'll watch it twice and that way I'll be good.
Just so that he can be familiar with
Super Pirate Booty Hunt!
Super Pirate Booty Hunt!
Super Pirate Booty Hunt! Man, I'm really going to lose my voice tonight. It's going to be great.
Oh, my God.
Well, for those who don't know, Super Pirate Booty Hunt is an animated web series that I'm the co-creator, writer, voice of Daniel the Turtle in. And I've been doing it since 2004, technically, now. It started as a skit, my internet college radio show. And it's about Captain Zack the Pirate and Daniel Turtle going on adventures on the 7th Sea looking for booty and whatever mayhem they can get into. So, and I kind of combined everything I like. I mean, I love pirates. I love superheroes. I love turtles. I have turtles at home. So,
there you go.
And we've got like 10 episodes now, and we got a bunch of stuff coming up. We're doing a new comic book release this Friday at Golden Apple Comics in Hollywood, and it's starring Tom Kenny, voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, and Ice King Adventure Time. He's going to be there. He stars in the comic. And it's funny because of the story in it. I actually have my own Daniel Turtle cosplay costume, and it's actually being repaired right now because I used to wear it everywhere.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I've worn it to conventions and stuff, but I also wear it to, like, Warped Tour concerts and stuff and heat and get mosh pits with it. But it's weird how so many people, especially guys, like, just randomly dry hump turtle costumes. in the story, in the comic.
I don't know that I've ever had that urge. I'm just going to...
I mean, girls do it too, but some reason, like...
And that's completely acceptable.
Guys, it's oh, freaking turtle, yeah!
I could see that.
You got a thing for turtles, Mike?
No, I just can see people doing that. People are weird.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is
so
true. People are weird.
If you go to superpirate.com, you can watch all 10 episodes. We got plenty of video vlogs, me in the costumes, getting molested and stuff. But so in the comic, which we're going to turn into a motion comic this summer at our San Diego Comic-Con after party on July 24th at the Stage Bar in the Gaslamp District. All the info's on the website. Basically, Tom is stalking Daniel the Turtle at San Diego Comic-Con, and he's dressed in a turtle costume. And our pirate thinks it's some girl in there, so he jumps. And then it turns out he rips it, and Tom's in there. So I was like, it's all from life experience.
It's where you have to draw from.
You have to.
It's the only way.
You have to.
Now, I'm just going to ask this for our listeners because I've seen it, so I know. Is Super Pirate Booty Hunt, is it geared towards children or adults?
No, it's kind of like the Adult Swim crowd. Mm-hmm. I would say 13 through 24-year-olds is our target audience. Yes. So yeah,
again,
it's going after booty. You know?
If you've checked it out, you know the answer to this question.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's that kind of booty.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's both. So, but we just released a documentary kind of explaining our 9-year journey. I'm big music fan, and I really love the VH1's Behind the Music, so I kind of took that approach and be like, what if we did like thing about Behind the Animation? So it's an hour and a half long, explains all the ups, a lot of the downs being an independent animator, and got all our animated episodes in there.
Is there a segment where one of you had a drug problem?
And is there like a big fight that happens between you and some of your other people that you worked with?
Yeah.
And then after a while, you guys have like this really cool
reunion
moment.
We get together, record a new song,
yeah.
Animation.
Yeah.
Did a reunion tour.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
What's and if you didn't, you should. Someone need you need to introduce someone to Black Tar Heroin and just get them going early so that you guys can have a real behind the scenes behind the music.
This Sunday, Super Pirate Booty Hall reunion tour for
Super
one
Pirate
night
only.
Well, I mean, our show is rock and roll on the high seas, and our character Zach, I kind of made him after a glam rocker. Before the early concept, since I'm such a grunge fan, I was like, well, pirates grunge don't really mix. Got to have like that, you know, that kind of lifestyle where you're just going around touring, screwing girls, drinking backstage. You know, grunge wasn't really that much of that.
Yeah, I don't know though. I think it depends on the type of pirate that we're dealing with. Because if you look at Smee, like the typical like image of Smee, I could see Kurt Cobain like being that kind of a pirate.
Yeah.
But when you go like the Jack Sparrow route, that's definitely more like the glam rock.
Smee as the pirate reference.
Just Captain Hook's the worst pirate ever.
I like that you just compared Kurt Cobain to Smee.
Oh yeah. Well, there's not that many pirates really to pick from, like famous ones.
Yeah, not ones that have been in the media and stuff like that. But
I guess I was gonna say the only similarity they have to me is that they're both dead now. So that's
ouch.
Ooh, was that too soon? Sorry.
Yeah, 20 years. Come on, man. Have some warning.
Too soon. My bad. All right, I'll give him like 50 years before I make a Kurt Cobain joke. I'm sorry.
I know. It's just fine now to make jokes about Lincoln getting killed. Come on. The nation's finally ready to move on.
Oh, Lord.
Roadhouse.
When you guys go to like conventions and things like that, I mean, obviously, you know, it's a web series. So what? Yes, I mean, you go to get humped, but you stay for the ladies. Wait, no. What do you guys do at the conventions to spread the word?
Yeah, I usually get like a booth if I can afford it. Or if I just – I've noticed the best thing is actually the turtle cosplay costume, just a walking booth, because I have a little belt on there. It's got postcards in there.
Nice.
And then – so I usually just go around, promote it, and anywhere I go on the street in the turtle costume, get humped. They have to get a postcard and they
will
go and check it out.
For postcard.
And you said that the idea of this started as a skit,
my internet college radio show.
And
I was a general manager of my college radio station, and I was trying to like come up with some new ideas to help inspire. Because half of my DJs wouldn't show up, and I always hated having dead air. So I was like, well, let's do like those old, like, you know, before there was TV, they had radio shows. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. I was like, well, what do I like? I was like, can I do something with Turtle? And then Pirates of the Caribbean, the first one, just came out. And I was like, wow, when I was four, you know, I was really young, I was really into pirates. And then I got older, and I'm like, it's weird. It's like a kid thing, even though they did a lot of like bad stuff. You know?
Yeah.
A lot of them had STDs, you know.
Well, that's what's funny about pirates is that they're so romanticized in movies where they did not live a nice life.
Yeah, and I kind of wanted to bring like an adult version of that to the cartoon where it's going after the booty. He doesn't care. It's like, you know, his turtle's kind of like Jimmy the Cricket. Like, Captain Zach, that's not a good idea. You shouldn't do that.
and you were you're the co-creator?
Yeah.
So
I teamed up with my friend David, who lives out here, and he's actually the lead animator, and he's a way better artist than I am. So together
what's his name?
David.
How do you spell that?
D-A-H-V-E-D.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah. I'm not going to – I can't even get his last name. It's Klaji Nag.
Wow.
Hungarian name.
We can do for
it's
you.
It's on the superpirate.com website.
We can do for you what we were doing for Ivan last week when he was mispronouncing.
Yeah,
we'll
just cough whenever you say his last name.
Oh, well, I'm dyslexic, so I mispronounce everything. That's what's great about being a voice actor and writing your own script. I'm like, okay, I can't say that in my regular voice. I'm not going to be able to say that in the turtle voice. You know? Yeah.
So you said he's the lead animator.
Yeah.
But you also do work on it.
Yeah, I do animate too. I don't have as good animation skills as he does. I say I'm always the Padawan where he's the Jedi Master. So there's certain scenes where I'm like, okay, you have to handle this.
Now, to make like a 2 to 3 minute cartoon, like how much time is put into like
a lot.
Making that come to life?
It depends, because if it's something with characters we already have, like the turtle and the pirate, we created like a 360 version of them.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have to come up with new backgrounds, new characters, and it's like new time. So that's why I kind of do like the same thing where I reuse a lot of same backgrounds in animation or certain scenes. I was like, okay, well, Robotech did it. You know, it's like, yeah.
Well, and I imagine with pirates, it's probably not that difficult. They're always on islands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're always
in, like, a sea involved somewhere.
In mine, I think we used this bar scene a lot.
Yeah.
Rowdy Bar, or Tavern. Yeah,
that's always.
And then we teamed up with this charity called Music Saves Lives to do these animated PSAs and comics for. And we've used this concert scene for a bunch for that. So it's great. It's a great charity. They basically encourage blood donation through the Power of Music Entertainment. So if you donate blood through them, you get rewards of like backstage passes that like Vans Warped Tour, free music tracks and stuff.
Wow,
so
that's pretty cool.
They teamed up with us. So we did these anime PSAs, taking Captain Zack Stever, Jane and Turtle, pairing them up with different music celebrities. So we did our first episode with the band 303. They've been on Warped Tour a bunch. And that episode actually won 6 awards at the Burbank Film Festival. I was really excited. So then we turned that episode into a two-story comic book that had like an original Super Pirate story too. And that was given out on Vans Warped Tour and any blood centers around the country. So anyone donated blood got a free comic, which is cool.
That's awesome.
So, and then we did one with David Steen and Megadeth, which is really awesome. I love him. So.
That's really cool.
And
man.
Then we just turned that into the comic that's now with the Tom Kenny two-story. And then we're doing a motion comic with Tom. And it's cool because this other actress, Tanya, who's in Transformers Prime and Fox. There's a Fox show called Enlisted, which I haven't seen, but she's one of the stars in it.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Which character is she? Do you know?
Well, not to be racist, but she's the Asian.
Okay. Well, that sums it up because there's only one.
Yeah, I know.
There's
exactly.
only one on the show.
I think her name's Private Park, I think, in it. So
I think you might be right. It's actually a funny character. It's a funny show that nobody's watching.
Yeah,
so.
I got moved to Sundays, and I know it's not coming back. But
what
there
is it? Did you say it's on Fox?
Yeah,
it's on Sundays. Okay, so it's canceled.
It was on Friday night to begin with, which usually is a death sentence. So you know.
My friend compared Fox to being that ex that just kind of comes back after she gets rejected the first time. And you're just like the rebound where she like sparks up all these feelings and then she's like, oh, actually, no, I'm going to go fuck someone else. And then that's what Fox feels like with all their shows because they like get you really into them. And you think that like this time around, things are going to work out. No.
Are you nervous?
No, they absolutely will not.
Are you nervous Gotham's on
I'm
Fox?
Not even. I'm not nervous for Gotham because I have no desire to see Gotham.
Oh, really?
A Batman I'm story so without fucked. Batman? Get the fuck out of here. That sounds so stupid.
It's something new. I'm excited.
No. It sounds so dumb. Yeah, I've had tons of people try to convince me.
You're entitled to your opinion. That's
yeah,
thing.
I've had a lot of people try to convince me.
I always
him
hate
just
in the nerd community where everyone's got to force their opinion.
Oh, yeah,
else.
No,
it
absolutely.
It does really get on my nerves to death. Like, I really loved Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it was first on. Everyone's like, how can you love that show? You can't be a nerd. What's wrong with you? I'm like, it entertains me. I like it. You know?
Yeah, that was one where most people were against it. I wasn't like in love with it, but I was like, I didn't dislike it, and I stuck it through, and I'm glad I did because they really turned it around. Like they upped it. Like,
oh yeah.
Second half of that season was
phenomenal. I heard it really took off.
Well, it's
half,
one of those
but
long story arcs where you had to get through like the growing pains to get to really where stuff actually mattered from watching earlier episodes.
Yeah, and I couldn't hang on.
Yeah.
I got out.
Well, that happens to me too. Like Arrow, I got out of it right away.
Oh,
everyone's
see,
like, oh, God, it's way better. You should get back
does,
into
though.
It.
No, it really does. Arrow takes about a season, though.
Because
I enjoyed
third episode. I was like, I'm done.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed the first season, but I can understand like why people didn't like it. But honestly, the best part about the first season is now you get to watch the second season, and the second season is fucking great.
Yeah, and I just saw something. I think it was on Facebook today. Someone posted up about the possibility of Nightwing making an appearance in season 3.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nice.
It'll be. It's. I'm excited.
I am definitely. I'm on board for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
You had mentioned something about a
Roadhouse. Yes.
Yeah, Roadhouse. Something about a Roadhouse somewhere. No, about a when you said what did you say? live action comic. What, I don't even know what you.
Oh, a motion comic.
Motion comic. Yeah. So what is that, and how is it different than a cartoon?
All right, basically, a motion comic's like animatic with colors. Basically, is the best way to describe it. it's the easiest way to get it done, since animation takes so long. So you basically have stills that some things move on the screen, but it's no mouth movement at all. And you
so
just
it's very,
the
it's very basic movement of
yeah.
Of
it's
things.
Like it's like looking at a comic without the word balloons, but then you hear the word balloons. That's the best way to describe it. Yeah,
and that's just it's easier. To,
yeah,
to
but like, I mean, the thing is, we weren't originally going to do that. But at the same time, I was like, well, you know, I know a lot of people. We're only giving out the comic here and in San Diego Comic Con. Tom's an amazing voice actor. He might as well, you got to use his voice somehow. So, yeah. Like, David came, I was like, let's do a motion comic. I was like, all right. It's like, we already have like the files that we did in the comic, and then we built it in Flash, so it's all layered. So, it's all vectorized. So, it's like, okay, there you go. We just need the voices. So, we're actually going to record all the stuff at the comic book signing this Friday.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool.
So the people there, there's a part in the comic where the mob's like chasing after Tom Kenny at San Diego Comic Con. So I was like, oh, we need a lot of people to like yell his name. I was like, well, we'll just have the mic there. And then people wait in line, they can all chant his name, and then they can be part of the motion comic.
Yeah, and people will be excited about that, too.
Yes, they will. People love – anytime they can just be a part of something, people are like, oh, yeah, no, we'll chant. Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's all helped to get a good cause, too. So.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is it about that time, Blaine? Yes.
Yes.
Cue the music. We have to take our first commercial break right now. But when we come back, we have a number of shout-outs we have to do. We also are going to announce the winner of our – a Mjolnir keychain contest that, by the look of Derek's face, didn't even know we were running.
I did.
And then we'll also be talking about some current events and more.
Simba Fire Pretty Hot Roadhouse, More Color Fantasy!
Listening to chaoticradio.com. Audacious, epic, mind-blowing. That's how the world responded last year to DC Comics The New 52, the biggest game changer in comics history. Now these best-selling landmark stories starring Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, The Flash, Aquaman, and the world's greatest superheroes are available as 52 graphic novels, making these books your perfect starting point. If you've never read a comic book but love the DC characters in films, TV, and video games, or if you're a fan who's been away for a while, this is your time. Join in the excitement of DC Comics The New 52 at Four Color Fantasy's comic book store, located at 8045 Archibald Avenue, Suite 120 in Rancho Cucamonga, California. The best place to find DC Comics, graphic novels, and collectibles. Or check them out on the web at www.fourcolorfantasies.com and see what you've been missing.
As a foot, Watson.
But Holmes, you've already captured Moriarty.
Not here, Watson. I'm talking about over at The Dinner Detective, America's largest interactive murder mystery comedy dinner show, where you can enjoy a delicious four-course plated dinner while you solve a hilarious murder case. And a tantalizing prize package awaits the top sleuth of the evening. Sounds like a good time, Watson. Pick us up some tickets.
But how do I do such a thing, Holmes?
It's elementary, Watson. Visit their website at www.thedinnerdetective.com or call them at the box office, 855-633-0080.
Could I get that one more time, Holmes?
Oh, Watson. The website again is www.thedinnerdetective.com and the box office number is 855-633-0080. And if you're picking up tickets for the Ontario location, use the promo code CRIME to receive a $5 discount.
Well, I'll get right on it, Holmes.
Excellent, old boy. I'll be here playing my violin.
But Holmes...
This is Captain Peter Hammerstedt from Sea Shepherd. We've spent the last 12 years defending the great whales of the Antarctic, saving the lives of more than 5,000 creatures. The Japanese government has announced they will return to slaughter more whales next year, despite the International Court of Justice deeming it illegal. The war on whaling is not over. With your help, Sea Shepherd will be there to stop them and finally put an end to whaling forever. Please donate now at seashepherd.org.au.
The Vendors Cycleworks is a full-service and custom bike build repair shop specializing in motor rebuilds, transmission work, insurance repairs, performance mods, and much, much more. Avengers Cycleworks.
I am Zig, owner of Avengers Cycleworks in San Bernardino. I'm a rider just like you, and I ride every day. I'm also a rider coach and know that a motorcycle needs to be in top shape. Whether it's just cruising down the road, hitting your favorite canyon, track day, or playing in the dirt, I have 30-plus years experience and hope I can take care of your bike like it's my own. Call us today at 909-387-9700. That's 909-387-9700. Or take a look at our website at AvengerCycleWorks.com. We back our work in riding. Shiny side up.
If you're looking for a fun night out, check out the Etiwanda Roadhouse. Located conveniently off the 210 freeway in Day Creek at 12853 Highland Avenue in Rancho Cucamonga. For food and fun, it doesn't matter what day of the week it is, the Roadhouse has you covered. With happy hour all day Sunday through Tuesday, a lunch menu 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, and nightly food specials including Build-A-Burger Mondays, Taco Tuesdays, Wing Wednesdays, Thursday Steak Nights, and Barbecue Sundays featuring NFL Sunday Ticket on 14 flat screens. Oh, and did I forget to mention live music and dancing on Friday and Saturday nights? Check us out on Facebook for news and event information at facebook.com/E Roadhouse. That's facebook.com/E Roadhouse. The Etiwanda Roadhouse, a gathering spot since 1927.
Today, you ate Greek yogurt. You took the train. You wondered why people spend so much time reading celebrity blogs. You read a celebrity blog. You planned a workout. You skipped it. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a devastating earthquake shakes the community to the ground. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Are you the kind of person looking for that personal touch? Does the environment matter to you? Then Tim's Timber Creations is the place for your one-stop custom furniture and decor professionals. From unique furniture pieces, doghouses, wine racks, tables, playhouses, plaques, and custom lettering, Tim's Timber Creations will give you that not-off-the-rack feel. All pieces are built to order, one-of-a-kind, and use upcycled wood products. Every time wood is upcycled, one less tree needs to be harvested. Tim's Timber Creations is that kind of company. Call them today at 909-917-6855. Or go to timstimbercreations.com. Stand out in a crowd.
You're listening to the Jack of All Nerds show on Chaotic Radio, puny Earth creature. Now where did I put that Illudium Pew-36 space modulator?
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Tonight, we have Mr. Steven Sievers from...
Superpower Booty Hunt!
I recorded version.
Superpower Booty Hunt!
What?
Is there an echo in here? This is so weird.
In the studio with
Roadhouse.
Us.
Roadhouse. Are you drunk yet, listeners?
Before we get back on topic, which will be us off topic, because yes. That's how we roll.
I love
We ran a contest this last week. Giving away this really awesome Mjolnir keychain that I purchased from Four Color Fantasies comic book store.
It is pretty cool.
Four Color Fantasies!
Jesus. It is cool. I saw it on Facebook. Yeah.
Just the look of it.
Oh, yeah.
Alone,
I love the photo.
This thing is heavy duty. You could hit somebody and probably kill them with it. That's how it's awesome. Exactly. And heavy.
And I almost chimed in, but I'm like, I'm going to stay away from that.
And it was a real simple, all you had to do was go to our website, fill out a form, and the way that we choose our winners here, it's very democratic. We have an electorate college, and whoever wins the popular vote. Actually, we roll a dice. And so the winner... of our, we don't have a drum roll, but the winner, there we go, is...
Why not?
Around the outside.
What the hell was that? The winner is April Ray.
Yay!
What's up?
So we will send you an email. I don't know if you're listening live, but
claim your shit. Right,
I got an idea for a new contest.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Who could do the best?
Super Pirate Buddy Hawk!
You didn't give me a chance. I was trying. I was going so fast, I hit something else. I don't know. Forget it.
And people record their version of Super Pirate Buddy Hawk! Send it in. They can win. I'll give them a free signed comic.
Super Pirate Buddy Hawk!
There you go, people.
I'll mail them a free sign.
You heard
comic.
It. You heard it live.
Yeah.
So, April, if you're listening, we will we'll follow up with you. We have your email address. We'll send you an email. Just respond to that with your shipping information, and we'll send that on out to you. Congratulations.
Responsibility comes
or
great
Derek
power.
Will deliver it, but he only delivers between 11:30 and 11:45 p.m.
And he only wears a bow tie.
You have to sign this.
What is happening? So
there'll be a keychain and a dick in a box. Anyway, now that if she is listening, she don't want that keychain no more.
Yeah, sorry.
Good job. Way to keep that keychain for yourself.
She ain't listening anymore. That was my plan the whole way.
Well played you. Just offer me and a dick in a box, and you get to keep all the shit you buy.
Yes. Anyway, and now I also have some shout-outs that I would like to give out really quick. As we have mentioned last week, this coming Friday, the 13th, we will be podcasting live from the Nerds Like Us Batman Returns midnight screening at the Vista Theater in L.A. There is going to be a lot of Batman stuff going on.
Wait, is that at midnight?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I can do that.
Is there a possibility you can make it?
I think so.
It's going to be a good time. There's supposed to be a lot of Batman cosplayers. They're going to have a Batmobile there. We're going to be there, which is probably the most important thing.
Yes.
Right.
And we're giving away a ton of, like, way too much stuff. Like, I said I was going to chill out with it. I've got Batman, 89's Batman on Blu-ray. Ooh. There is Batman Returns Blu-ray with, like,
which
a collector's tin. Batman Begins on Blu-ray. The 1960s Batman movie on Blu-ray. A Batman keychain. Some Batman comic books. A Batman pop figure.
Do you like have shark repellent?
Too much stuff.
Out? Batman himself. It's incredible.
Yes. Giving away Batman.
One night with Batman. Do what you want with
There's
him.
A vial of Batman semen.
But I think it's important that everyone knows that it's going to be the Joel Schumacher Batman, so there will be nipples involved.
Good.
Never mind. I'm out.
But, the ton of that stuff. And we have two tickets. I'm keeping those for myself.
Roadhouse.
My bag's already packed. We have two tickets for Club Cosplay for the grand opening that we are going to be giving away as part of that as
Very
well.
Exciting.
So for more information about the midnight screening, go to facebook.com/nerdslikeus. You can also purchase your tickets through there. And then Club Cosplay is just as it sounds. It's a cosplay nightclub. Grand opening will be Saturday, June 28th. We will also be there. Podcasting from that. Mm. For more information, www.clubcosplay.info. And then finally, two other quick shout outs. Earlier today, I had the distinct pleasure of being on the 88 Miles Per Hour podcast with our friend Sanch from the Brothers Bear podcast. So I told them I would give them a quick mention.
Fantastic.
Brothers Bear podcast is a comedy show where two brothers talk about everything, movies, cartoons, video games, comics, TV, music, and basically everything entertainment, similar to us.
Yeah.
Except they also have a third stooge, their friend Shweddy, who joins them. New podcast episodes are uploaded every Friday, and they I guess they have a Ustream something.
Yes.
They do that live.
Yes.
Monday nights at 9 p.m. Check them out at brothersbearpodcast.podbean.com for the podcast. They are also on Instagram, the Brothers Bear Podcast, and Twitter, Brothers Bear Pod. And then the other podcast that Sanchez is involved with is the 88 Miles Per Hour Podcast. That's where he and Renata, who I mentioned on the show, looks a lot like Gina Davis.
Really?
Yeah, she does. Like, we were doing like a hangout to record it, like on Google.
Yeah.
And every time I looked at it, I was just like, she looks like Gina Davis.
So it's probably crazy. Could be Gina Davis.
Could be. She's not doing anything lately.
What
they do is they this is their description. They get into the DeLorean and take us back to the 80s to share their love of 80s pop culture, mostly movies. And their new episodes are posted up Monday. So the episode that I was on will be up tomorrow. They let me pick the films. We talked about my favorite movie of all time.
Roadhouse.
Close. I did mention Roadhouse on there, but no, Clue.
Ah, yeah, well played,
Clue.
You.
Nice.
Yeah. Well played.
Love that movie.
That is a fantastic
movie.
Let us
in, let us in, let us out, let us out.
Love that movie.
Oh, you just went up in my estimation. Like, right? So much more now. Anyway, they can be checked out at 88. It's actually spelled out 88mphpodcast.podbean.com or on Twitter. It's 88, the numbers, 88mphpod. And Instagram is 88mphpodcast. So definitely check them out.
You know, all this time of remakes, if they remade Clue, would you be offended by that?
If they did it right, yeah. I wouldn't be, because I'm such a fan of ensemble farce comedies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, like the Rat Race that came out.
Yeah, Rat Race was really fun.
I loved Rat Race, and I wish they would do more comedies like that. So
I actually think that would be cool if they actually did.
Casting choices would be extremely important, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know who could replace Tim Curry.
Yeah, that would be my – almost anybody else I feel like you could probably
Johnny
get
Depp
away
or
with.
Something like...
But Tim Curry just – he makes that movie for me.
Yeah.
He's brilliant in that movie. And I don't know of anybody that would really – I don't know.
But
I'd have to really think about
it. I might be able to see like Jude Law doing that. Like the guy has range, and I've seen him do comedic –
Yeah, I don't know if he could. I don't know if he could go that far though. Like I've seen him be comedic, but he still strikes me as a little bit too dramatic, just a little bit. Like I think there's always going to be a part of you that watches anything Jude Law does where you're kind of like, I know you're trying to be farce, but I still kind of take you seriously.
Like, he's got that face. Michael Keaton. I mean,
he's an anomaly though.
Yeah, I think he.
Comedian turned Batman just doesn't happen often. That's a once in a lifetime
turn. He was great as a Beetlejuice, though. So I think that's similar, though. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but he's getting up there. I think you would have to pick, like, all these performers were a lot younger when they did it. So I think you would have to pick people that are, you know, younger now.
Channing Tatum. Done, guys. You're welcome.
Get the fuck out of here.
Ben Affleck.
Get out. Yeah. Both of you. Both of you. You both just got roadhoused. Get out.
God. Or the guy who plays Jon Snow. It's perfect.
There you go. He'll play all the characters, even the female ones.
So if you're listening, I'm currently in the market for a new co-host here on the Jack of All Nerds show.
Super Fire Pretty Hot!
I like that we just officially ruined Clue for you.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
that's all I got for shoutouts. You guys want to do some current events real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
Why not? Well, I'm going to throw it over to our guest because you said you actually had something, whereas we didn't.
Yeah,
really
there's this awesome video. I think I saw you post it too of Mark Hamill doing prep for the Star Wars celebration thing, and he's like holding a lightsaber with Mickey Mouse doing all these crazy poses, and I was like, oh, there's a Star Wars movie. This is what he's going to look like. This is what old Luke Skywalker is going to look like. You know, so
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm excited for the new movie.
I am, you know, and there's a lot of mixed feelings on this.
Why?
I don't know, to be honest.
I don't know why, because the only thing that could make it terrible is not involved with it at all.
Yeah.
And that's George Lucas.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar, well, yeah, that too. But who knows? Maybe he'll show up, Blaine. You never know. You never know.
I'm not getting into this with you right now. I don't want to ruin the night.
I'm wondering if Mark's going to do like voices for like other characters in Star Wars, since he is like one of the greatest voice actors. You know?
Yeah,
that would be interesting.
Did you see who was cast in it? The big blonde She-Man guy from last season and part of this season of Game of Thrones, the one that took around Jaime Lannister. I don't know her name.
Oh,
Wookiee.
She could be. Yeah, she was recently cast in it.
Oh, was she?
Yeah,
really?
She was added in.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah,
I'm excited for it, and I enjoy all the secrecy. I enjoy the not really knowing everything about it. Like, I think it'll be great. And I trust J.J. Abrams to handle something like that, and I think he'll do a good job.
Oh, he did a great job in Star Trek.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not even a big Star Trek fan.
I'm not either.
Both of those were so much fun.
Yeah. So
yeah, I'm down with anything Star Wars, so yeah. I'll definitely check it out.
There's no reason I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And we got Star Wars Rebels coming up.
Yeah,
and
I'm hoping for a live action TV series.
Ooh. God, that would be awesome.
I'm
like a 24 one-hour episodes over a course of a year. I mean, that to me, like, there are so many little small stories that intertwine things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would totally be down to see some of these lesser known Jedi and just have them get like a focal point. Yeah. Show. I'd
what
be you, totally
what
down
for like
that.
Knights of the Old Republic like TV show where it's like, you know, there's no character to base on. Now,
you know? Yeah,
that's Knights of the Old Republic. Just all Jedi's everywhere.
Yeah,
Sith everywhere.
I've always wanted the two things I've always wanted to see is number one, I wanted to see like a TV show, just at the spice mines of Kessel, just hang out there and like just see different people coming and going and like the ongoings of what's going on there. And then I wanted to see one. It's kind of like Episode 3.5. Basically, is there's a book about how the plans for the Death Star were stolen and actually handed off to Leia or given putting in the R2 unit to get to Leia. And you know, all that stuff. That would be a great TV show because it's like, you know, you don't need characters. You can reference, just mention their names is all you need to do. Kind of like what the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is.
Just a bunch of Easter
eggs.
Well,
and if they were into recasting some parts, even Shadows of the Empire would be a good, because that's the gap between Empire and Jedi.
Agreed.
And,
that was a great game.
Yeah. And, you know.
And I think a live action version of that would be pretty epic. Yeah.
All the books have been written too.
Yeah, right.
Adam Thrawn would be cool to see.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess since all the books are no longer canon.
Right? No, I know.
So that's the dumbest thing they ever did.
Yeah.
People
alienated. So they say. Who knows? Fans. You know.
It's not the Bible. Like, there's no Council of Nicaea for Star Wars, guys. It's all right.
Well, there's also been so many.
Like, there's so many different variations and so many gaps and so many stories based around. It's a world. It's a galaxy. There's fucking millions of ways that they can go with it. And, like, there's no canon. Just. If you like a certain story, then just enjoy the storyline. Enjoy it.
Yeah, then just leave Jar Jar alone, would you?
Yeah. What did he do to you?
He exists.
But see, I think where they misstepped on that is just making the announcement that this is no longer canon, where you could have just went the J.J. Star Trek route and made some weird thing happen that changes the course
changes
of how
the course
it goes.
Of everything.
You know, throw in some lens flares off the lightsabers, you got an Abrams film.
Done. And you got my money. So
exactly.
Take it.
Is there going to be like a drinking game like at the like on lens flare every time you see lens flare?
Roadhouse.
That lens flare drinking game. That just sounds awful.
I think you can do that now. I just go watch Star Trek.
Yeah, I know. We're really good. I think we'd only get through one, though.
Yeah.
I don't think we can make it through both in one sitting.
I guess other nerd news.
Oh, yeah.
Edge of Tomorrow came out this weekend.
Yes.
And we saw it.
We did.
It didn't do too well at the box office, but it's be getting good reviews, though.
It's really good.
It is good.
It is really good. I really enjoyed it.
If you are a fan of sci-fi and Groundhog Day, you are gonna love this.
Absolutely.
Live, die, repeat.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and actually, I thought the promos for the movie were pretty like piss poor, with just the, you know, not really showing you anything and then throwing up words live, die, repeat. Like,
that's why I was like, okay, why do I want to see this? Yeah,
but we like saw the movie and thought it was great.
I had a great time. It's very funny. Surprisingly, for like they do a lot of really good humor. Kind of side character, like Bill Paxton has one of the best character parts. Like, he just every time he's on screen, you're just like, fuck yeah, he's so good. He's so good at that movie.
Game over, man.
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
I was thinking that.
I was too. Yeah, I wanted him to say it. I wanted, like, as soon as they got on the beach.
At the WonderCon panel. He had to say it.
Tom Cruise made him. But no, it was a really good movie. And the way they deal with it, it's beautifully shot. The action is really good. It's very funny. It's a really good blend of just all the things that you would enjoy in a sci-fi film. All of it is in there.
Yeah. So. And I mean, you know, we're not going to spoil anything for you guys, but people live. people die. People repeat.
And that repeats for most of the movie.
Also, last week, we didn't really get to touch on it at all, was Maleficent and A Million Ways to Die in the West.
How did you feel about both of those, Mike?
I enjoyed both. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed one more than the other, and I saw it twice. So, A Million Ways to Die in the West. It didn't do very well, I don't think. But I loved it. I mean, I'm a big fan of Family Guy. Family Guy and you like Ted,
Roadhouse.
It's like, I'm not going to compare it to Blazing Saddles, but it's that kind of silliness in the Old West, but Family Guy style. Yeah. And a lot of uses of the word fucking shit and things like that. Yes. So it's,
yeah, I really want to see that.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. You?
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed it. I laughed. I think one of the things my brothers didn't like about it was that he said that Seth MacFarlane has such a high level of writing when it comes to just comedic writing in general. Yeah. That A Million Ways to Die in the West felt really lazy and really uncreative compared to things like Ted and Family Guy and just how brilliantly those were written. This just felt kind of hodgepodge and subpar and not as creative as his other work.
I don't agree with that. I actually like all the jokes and things that he makes fun of history.
Yeah.
I thought were very clever. So yeah. I don't think it was lazy in that regard. There were some things I can kind of see that. Like, if you're going to have Neil Patrick Harris in a movie, don't just make him Old West Barney Stinson. Because that's
essentially what they did.
That's exactly what he was. Yeah. So, I think his talent may be a little bit wasted. But, for the most part, I thought it was good.
And Charlize Theron's cleavage for most of the film, can't argue.
It's all you need.
Can't fight it. Can't
Super
fight
Power
it.
Booty Hunt! Super Power Booty Hunt!
Yes.
But I started to search. I got to how many in the LEN, and it said lens flares in Star Trek. Do you guys want to guess how many?
Oh, God.
127.
I have no idea.
Just guess a number.
Okay, you said 127.
69.
Oh, yeah.
So mature.
Yeah.
I am going
to say...
Maybe
be grown up about this, Jack.
I'm going to say it's somewhere in the...
First off, we're counting lens flares in a movie. There's nothing grown up about this.
Yeah, that is true. I'm going to say 90.
721.
Jesus Christ!
Okay, if you really play a drinking game to that... You
I was...
What?
Hey, first off, I was close in that they were both numbers.
700 lens flares in
721 lens flares. Somebody took the time to count it. And put it on video for you for proof.
Some Star Trek nerd.
So if that were a drinking game, that's liver failure, isn't
that's
it?
Death.
That's Family Guy death will be showing
There's
up.
No way you catch them all.
Yeah, that's probably
It's like
true.
Playing whack-a-mole and not be very good at it.
Especially the more you're drinking, you would.
Bets on how many would be in Star Trek. Star Wars Episode 7.
That's ridiculous.
One twirl of a lightsaber.
Features 20.
Oh, man.
Did you end up – you saw Maleficent.
I did see Maleficent.
So what were your thoughts?
I enjoyed it. I didn't hate it. I didn't think it was great. I think some things were kind of underused. I thought Angelina Jolie was great. I thought she was really good as that character.
I mean, she looks the part.
Oh, yeah. No, she's one of the best parts of that movie, actually. There were a couple things where I was kind of like, that's pretty dumb.
I will say this. I do think that she looked the part of Maleficent. But had I been that little boy hanging out with that little girl and known she was going to turn into Angelina Jolie, I would have backed out of that deal a long time ago. I probably would have went the same way he did and betrayed her. I don't find her attractive at all.
Well,
at all.
That's
even with that's even with horns on her head. Sorry.
That's unfair.
And wings.
You're silly.
Yeah, you're silly. I don't find, and this is weird about that couple in general. Is they both have like these ugly alter egos, I feel like, where like Angelina Jolie has like her anorexic version of herself where she like starves herself like her African kids, and she's atrocious when she does that.
And then Brad Pitt,
turns into a homeless man.
Yeah.
And it's the weirdest thing because they're both beautiful people, but they have these grungy, nasty alter egos.
Or maybe that's just them in their normal habitat.
It very well could be. Maybe Brad Pitt.
Celebrities do have to keep up appearances. Yeah. Like sometimes they just want to relax.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And if relaxing is starving yourself and becoming emaciated,
and
then
becoming
so be
homeless,
it.
Who there knows? Maybe. Just keep adopting African kids.
And watching Super Pirate Booty Hunt.
So you enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it. Yeah. I wasn't like head over heels for it. It wasn't like amazing.
I still want to see it. Even a lot of people told me it wasn't.
I would say it's worth seeing. Like if you're a big fan of Disney and you enjoy Disney films, like it's well done. And if anything, like it's beautifully shot. Like the cinematography for it is really good. Mm-hmm. So I thought even just as a someone who enjoys film, can at least get that kind of enjoyment out of it.
And if you're one of those people that really enjoys seeing the softer side of Sears, like that's like a thing now where they're just showing villains in like a different light than you.
I would have rather heard just be bad the whole movie.
Yeah, but
that's not the Disney way.
Yes. So, oh, yeah. Do you hear that? Ads are coming. Anyway. So we will be right back. When we return, we're going to be talking more
Super Fire Booty Hunt
for the rest of the show.
I think
his head almost exploded. If you want to join the conversation, message us on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds, or give us a call, 909-989-0789. We'll be right back.
BS just won't do. ChaoticRadio.com.
What's a gastropub? I asked myself the same question. Then the good folks at DolceGastropub.com explained it all to me. You see, gastro means food. And we all know what you get at a good pub. Beer. So, a gastropub is the perfect blend of food and beer. And nobody does it better than Dolce Gastropub. From the hamburger of the month to the fresh salads. Amazing appetizers to their macaroni and cheese grilled cheese sandwich, all topped off with the best combination of local beers. Dolce Gastropub has you covered. That's Dolce Gastropub in Montclair. Find them on the web at DolceGastropub.com, and I will see you there.
Have you ever felt victim to a misleading furniture ad? You know the ones that overpromise and underdeliver? Most of those companies promise big savings but always fall short. Comfort Plus Mattress and Furniture in Rancho Cucamonga is here to change your furniture shopping experience. Quality, a huge selection, and the best pricing. Comfort Plus has it all. You can furnish your entire home at a fraction of retail pricing. Call Comfort Plus now for our current specials. 909-481-3300. Comfort Plus is conveniently located on 4th Street between Archibald and Haven, just north of the 10 Freeway in beautiful Rancho Cucamonga. Comfort Plus Mattress and Furniture offers your family a difference you can feel. For more info, go to comfortplus.biz or call 909-481-3300. Make sure to mention Chaotic Radio. That's comfortplus.biz or call 909-481-3300.
What's up, guys? Tune in every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Blaine Humble Show. That's right. Check me out every morning, 8 to 11, as we break down all things news, all things sports, all things topical, all the things that you want to know more about. Oh, and I get to do it in my weird way. The phone number for you to call in is 909-989-0789. That's 909-989-0789. Again, be sure to join me every weekday morning from 8 to 11, The Blaine Humble Show, only on chaoticradio.com.
The game is afoot, Watson.
But Holmes, you've already captured Moriarty.
Not here, Watson. I'm talking about over at The Dinner Detective, America's largest interactive murder mystery comedy dinner show, where you can enjoy a delicious four-course plated dinner while you solve a hilarious murder case. And a tantalizing prize package awaits the top sleuth of the evening. Sounds like a good time, Watson. Pick us up some tickets.
But how do I do such a thing, Holmes?
It's elementary, Watson. Visit their website at www.thedinnerdetective.com. Or call them at the box office, 855-633-0080.
Could I get that one more time, Holmes?
Oh, Watson, The website again is www.thedinnerdetective.com, and the box office number is 855-633-0080. And if you're picking up tickets for the Ontario location, use the promo code CRIME to receive a $5 discount.
Well, I'll get right on it, Holmes.
Excellent, old boy. I'll be here playing my violin.
But Holmes...
Hey guys, producer Jay from Toxic Underground here. Do you sit for a living? Tired of sitting in a crummy chair at a rickety old desk? Well, then change your fortunes and call OES Furniture today. Dial 877-637-3678 and ask for Preston. Or go to OESOfficeFurniture.com. Create an environment that works the way you do. Let OES provide you with an innovative workplace solution with the personal service you deserve. Don't delay. Call OES today. That number again is 877-635-3678. That's 877-635-3678. Or find them on the web at OESOfficeFurniture.com.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Arsenal.
Hey, Kevin.
What's up, Blaine?
I told you we can't bring Chris with us to Soccer Warehouse anymore. He just can't handle all the cool gear the Soccer Warehouse has in stock.
I know. Soccer Warehouse just has too many things to look at. His brain is on overload.
I have an idea. Next time, have him go to SoccerWarehouse.com at home, and he can shop online.
That's a great idea, Blaine. We'll leave the Eastvale and Victorville locations for us civilized shoppers. We just can't take this guy anywhere in public. Such a shame.
Kevin, it's not his fault. Soccer Warehouse's selection of authentic gear is second to none. He just doesn't know how to handle it.
Again, you're right. Soccer Warehouse is mighty impressive. Oh, and I need that new United kit. And I need that change kit. And the home shorts. And the away shorts.
Stay with me, Kevin. Oh, no. I'm losing him, too. Dang you, Soccer Warehouse. You're just too good.
You forgot one very important thing, mate. You should never listen to the Jack of All Nerds show all by your onesies. Get some mates together. Drink some rum, savvy?
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds show on Chaotic Radio. Tonight we have Mr. Steven Sievers from...
Super Pirate Hunt! The award-winning animated web series and comic book.
I like
Super Fire Booty Hunt!
I like how calmly you went into that right afterwards.
That's how I do.
So I want to talk more about
Super Fire Booty Hunt!
Oh, he pulled something that time.
Yeah, that was a little too intense for him.
That's okay, he's injured. I got him cut.
Super Fire Booty Hunt!
Yes.
Oh man.
Yes.
So we already kind of talked about the where, like when the idea came about. Mm-hmm. And you said that you just included things that you like, but what were like the big inspirations for you? And you mentioned like Pirates of the Caribbean, but as far as like turtles and things, like are you like a big Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan or just regular turtles? Like what?
Which is funny because now as a pirate turtle, I can't like Ninja Turtles. Pirates turtles don't get along. Or pirates and ninjas, I mean. No, I do love Ninja Turtles. I don't know how to feel about the new movie coming out.
Hate it like the rest of us. It's fine.
I do like the role of Shredder, though, because I was a huge Prison Break fan at the TV show, and he was like the bad guy in it.
Was that a groan? A grumble?
Yeah. But, it's just growing up, turtles was my favorite animal and still are. I don't know why. Maybe because I was a big dinosaur freak as a kid, or still am. I mean, who doesn't love dinosaurs? That was really bad dinosaur. I'll just go back to Super Fire Pretty Hunt! Super Fire Pretty Hunt!
I like that you bring your own sound effects.
Yeah, that's great. That's own personal soundboard.
Yeah.
And then with the pirates, like, were you? Was it just Pirates of the Caribbean that really like got you going on pirates?
Well, as a kid, I was really into pirates. And like in fourth grade, my parents, I had a pirate themed birthday party, and my birthday presents were all hidden, and they gave me treasure maps to go find.
That's awesome.
And it was cool. And then like in the sandbox, there was all buried like pennies and quarters for all us kids to dig up and find. And I was like, oh, this is the coolest birthday ever. But when I got older, and I really love history and actually researching, you know, actual adult version books of, you know, oh, Blackbeard, you know, he actually had Charleston, South Carolina, kidnapped the mayor and like, okay, you got to give me something worthwhile. And they gave him like medicine for STDs. And he's like, okay, this is good. You can have your man back, you know. So, like, I was like, oh, like, it's funny that like everything. I mean, they touched a little bit in the Pirate Caribbean. It's like over, you know, people's heads and stuff. So, mm-hmm. I was like, well, I want a like more adult version of it. So, So that's why I was like, okay. I was like, I like music, and it's kind of a struggle too because he's trying to be a superhero, which I don't really get to tie in too much on in the animated web series right now because everything's like a minute or 4 minutes long. But it's like his struggle because he wants to be good, but he's got his pirate side where he's like, mm-hmm. oh, there's a girl. I got to go hit on her. You know, oh, there's a treasure map for treasure. Let's go. And the villain planted it there, you know. So.
Yeah. Blaine, did you have
something? Well, I was waiting for you. Well, I'm figuring out. Did you see Black Sails?
No, I don't have Stars or HBO.
Okay, then what about that one Crossbones that's coming up, the one with –
It's already out.
I really want to see.
Black Sails was good. I thought so. I don't have Stars, but I had the free preview weekend. I binge watched it.
Oh, did you really? Well, yeah. I'll
that and True
wait
Detective.
DVD,
I watched
you know?
Both through, and it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it more really more realistically shows the pirate life.
Oh, Black Sails?
Yeah.
It's very rough. Yeah. It's very very dirty and
yeah. Oh, which cool. is I mean that's how pirates live. That's yeah, a disgusting
no,
life.
Not. They were Did not you? Romantic. Like,
it was not running around like, with I know, eyeliner
like,
on.
Yeah, and we get all like, oh, fuck Somali pirates. Like, they're not any different than the ones that we're romanticizing.
Yeah.
Like, they were all assholes. Like, they weren't nice people. Like, they were thieves. That's
exactly.
what they did.
Yeah, these they took debonair swashbucklers.
Yeah.
No.
No. And they were not like Robin Hood thieves either, where they just only stole from corrupt officials. Like, they
Captain
killed
Phillips.
Yeah, no, they killed everyone. Like,
yeah. Well, did you guys play the last Assassin's Creed game? Like, that was actually
yeah, Pirates
really
cool. Creed. Yeah, it was great.
That was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I loved it, but it's really as far from being an assassin.
Oh,
it's
I just, know.
It's all about the pirate, but it's a great pirate game. It really is. And then I know Blaine had brought up Crossbones with John Malkovich as Blackbeard. Did you see it, Blaine?
I didn't know it was out. I thought it was a fall show, so I hadn't been looking for it. I'm all stuck right now on Salem and 24 and some other ones, and that other one on Showtime right now. I got my crack sites. I watch it all there.
Yeah.
But now that I know Crossbones is out, thank you. I won't sleep tonight. Thank
what's
you.
What's the other
no
one?
You're a true pirate. You got
what's
the
other one
sites.
On Showtime?
The one Penny Dreadful or no, that's a comic book.
No, Penny Dreadful is a
Penny
show.
Dreadful. Oh
right.
No, I think I'm mixing them up.
Okay.
Pretty Deadly is a comic. Penny Dreadful is the TV show.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so I'm watching that in Salem, but I didn't know Crossbones out, so I'll watch that now.
Yeah, it's definitely like Black Sails light.
Yeah, but see that's the thing. I figure if I'd seen Crossbones first, I'd really want to see Black Sails. But now that I've seen Black Sails, why do I want to go there? I'm
no,
not going to be any.
And honestly, one of their plot devices is almost exactly the same.
It's so bad.
I won't ruin anything for everyone, but yeah, it's. Yeah, whatever. It's got John Malkovich is all right. He's an older Blackbeard, so take that as you will. But it's one of those I just don't see it lasting on NBC. And I just found out they canceled Dracula, and I'm flaming
what
pissed off about that.
What the fuck?
Did you get a chance to
see
that?
They just hired a new Fox executive.
But I'm not surprised it got canceled, though. When I first saw the preview for it.
Like, it was actually a
show
good show.
So good.
Okay.
No, right. It's so good. That is so sad.
They put the balls back on the vampire.
Yeah, they did.
Like, it was good.
Cool. Yeah, they did.
But
damn,
that's
dude.
What sucks about getting invested in a TV show. Like V, I'm still pissed they canceled that. I was so into that show.
I binge-watched Dracula, and the way that series ended, I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be a great season two. No, there is
that
none.
That sucks.
Fuck. I'm sorry. I want to quick question. Does anybody watch Homeland on Showtime?
No.
I don't have
nothing.
I don't have those channels.
All right, fine.
I know they always make fun of that SNL for.
Yeah.
So many white people like that show.
No, I feel like this Bergdahl thing that's going on. You know, this soldier that got taken back after being. I'm like, I've already seen this. I watched this on Showtime every year.
Yeah, you know, real life is so stolen from TV shows.
I swear to God, it's like you laugh, but Homeland, it's the same shit. It's just reverse.
That's funny.
Well, that's where I get inspiration from. I just talked about it.
Were you a fan of Goonies?
Oh yeah, Goonies Pirates? Never Die. Yeah, yeah. I probably watched that so much on VHS back in the day.
When you started like writing the script for this, obviously, I mean, it's humorous and it's meant to be, but did you like do research on like actual piracy?
I mean, I did some, like I explained like the Blackbeard thing, but I wanted this to take place. It's weird. I call it a past futuristic present world, you know, where there's robots, there's pop culture references, but all the island feels sort of look like pirates were back then, but they use like gadgets of today, like phones and stuff. But and you know, you could have celebrities come in and stuff. So it's just weird. Because I was like, I'm not even gonna try to make it like history or not. So But I have like the pirate's dad is Captain Black. You know, because I was like, you know, Blackbeard. So and I got Greg Giggles, who's a voice actor, did a voice for him, and. We started it in our pilot. We've never finished animating it because the animation is a lot of work and we all have day jobs. But I actually have it released on a Superpirate documentary I talked about earlier, which is now released on iTunes for their Matrix TV app. And it's coming to Hulu and Netflix probably in about 3 to 5 months.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I still got to finish it in closed caption for it.
That's good, though.
But it's cool because I also put my very first animation I ever did back in 2004, and it was, like, really rough. You know? But it was like, yeah, it's like behind the music, you know, our first demo. You know?
You're saying, like, that there's a lot of work that goes into making one. I mean, this is the first time we've had anybody that's, like, in animation. Yeah. So, like, can you,
the thing is, like, most you know, TV shows and movies, they have a whole team. Mm-hmm. And right now it's usually just me and David working on it or whatever interns, free labor we have, you know? So, when people always say, how long does it take? I always kind of say, you know, depends on the characters. Also depends how many people we have working for us at the time we're willing to work for either free or peanuts, you know? Cause some episodes we get done pretty quick. If we have a lot of people want to work for IMDb credit and, you know, or animation demo reel. But, you know, your first step is obviously the writing and, you know, and then you do like table reads to see if it's actually worthwhile to other people. Because a lot of times you write stuff and you think it's like still funny in your head and then people don't get it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're happy with that, then you'll...
Right, Derek?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You go on the storyboards and then you'll present that to the voice actors so then they know what their characters are doing. And you record the lines, and then you'll take the storyboards and the voices and some sound effects, and you put that all together, and you have an animatic. And that's more just for the timing when you give it to either other animators or for yourself. Okay, at 1 minute, this character is at this position, minute and a half, he's walking over here. So you've got to fill in that gap. So, and then you got to do the sound mix and Pro Tools and export it all out. It sounds so easy to explain it right now.
No, it sounds exhausting, actually.
But then I think more of it is actually building the characters in background before actually animating. You know? Because we build them all on Flash and computers. But like I said, once it's all done, you can reuse that characters. Right. And you have your library of mouth charts and walk cycles and stuff you can reuse.
Right. And like you were saying, like with big studios and stuff, they have an entire team.
Yeah,
so they'll have somebody just for backgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody for the foreground.
Just for mouth movement.
And
just
guys,
for shadowing. Right. It's,
you guys have to do all that yourself.
Well, that's independent lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, and you watch 6 Days of Air, which is like the South Park documentary, and they have it all split up with. It's like one guy, all he does is Cartman. That's it. Like his job is just animate Cartman in all of these. And then. One person has Kyle, and then they all just kind of put them together. And because they're like linked up with Apple and they're fucking South Park, they get whatever's brand new like right off the shelf. Like Apple releases it and then gives it to South Park. So like all their stuff is like
great.
They don't have to animate shit. They just have to put them. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Yeah, I'm excited. Well, I'm actually developing it as a feature film right now with Continue Motion Pictures. So we'll actually get a real budget and we'll have a real team.
That'll
so.
Be awesome, man.
But it's going to be more family-friendly version of it. So I kind of – to me –
13.
Yeah, well, to me, like, I'm a huge Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
God, I love that movie.
You know, that movie, you know, it's PG, but there's a lot of, like, sexual undertones in it. So that's – I was like, well, all right, I can still keep the core of the show and have it more, you know, for kids at the same time and, you know, jokes that parents want me to get. So, you know.
Yeah. That's – I think any great show does that because, again, Animaniacs I've been binge-watching and, you know, there's so many – there's, like, I just watched an episode where they're with Beethoven. And they're bugging him, and he says, I'm a pianist. You're a what? A pianist. Good night, everybody.
That's why I kind of want to go over the feature film where it's like,
And then I think for the rest of the episode, I think they keep calling him like Potty Mouth or something like that. Like it's just,
that show is great. So
and
great.
For a kid, you don't like
you have no
get,
idea what
it
that
just
means.
Goes right over.
Yeah, right.
But as an adult, you'd be like, that's funny, you know?
Well, it's funny because, like, when I first started developing it back in 2004, it was more that family-friendly thing where there were still adult jokes that just went over their heads. But then as an animated web series, you kind of have to have that viral aspect to it to kind of stand out. So we're like, well, let's push the envelope some more. Let's have it more emphasis on the bouncing boobs and stuff, you know?
Yeah,
when you're posting it on a place where things only go viral when somebody's getting in a fight.
Okay, we'll have a shark on the crotch.
Stupid. I guess the feature length aspect would be way different because I mean there's just a lot more writing involved as well.
And I'm not even done the script yet. You know, I'm working on it so long, and now it's summer, so now it's like, oh, I've got all these conventions to go to and all the movies that come out, so it's like, oh, I don't know how I'm gonna finish this. And you know, I've been trying to finish the comic book, promote it. And I'm still finishing up organizing my San Diego Comic-Con after party, and I need to promote that. So I was like, I barely have had any time to like work on the script while also doing other jobs I do to help keep a roof over my head. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But at the same time, like Frozen was in development for 8 years, and then that movie made $1 billion. So, you know.
Was it really?
Yeah. That was one of the few movies actually, box office, not including DVDs and merch, made $1 billion.
I don't,
it's insane.
I don't understand.
That's...
I don't get it.
I love the show.
I don't get it.
It was a good movie, but the fan thing for it is just crazy.
I don't get it.
It's weird because I first saw it at the D23 Expo last summer. I was like, that movie's going to bomb so bad. Like, what is it about? Snow? What? Who cares about that?
You know, like, I think part of what it is that, you know, getting Idina Menzel to sing on your soundtrack, that song is just like everywhere.
It helps.
It was well on its way to filling up bank accounts before that song became super popular.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, it's $1.25 billion.
Oh, Jesus, thank you.
Christ.
That's crazy. So that's my thing. After this, I'm not going to do any more events or anything. I'm just going to be trying to sit down and trying to keep writing and try to finish it. And the only other thing I got coming up is we're going to be on on TBS on the end of June or early July. I don't know. There's a new show called on CeeLo Green's The Good Life.
Oh, yeah. I've seen trailers for that.
Yeah,
What is that?
Basically, I didn't know, but CeeLo Green used to be in a rap group called the Goody Mob.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny, I just watched Mystery Men, and the Goody Mob is one of the gangs in the final scene.
They're all
the gangsters, and this is back like when they were just the Goody Mob. And they're the ones that get hit with the blame thrower, and they like fight.
They're
all the Goody Mob.
So I guess it's the show is about them trying to come back.
Yeah.
And you know, come up each episode, they come up with a different scheme. Like, okay,
and it's animated.
This show. Basically, the one episode that for us, they decided, okay, we're gonna do an animated web series, and so they come to us to produce the animation for them. And it's cool because like you can see all the Superpower Brilliant stuff behind us. I'm wearing a shirt and stuff, and you know, when they shot it, they're like, "Oh, we want you to talk about your show a lot too, and we'll see if they how they edit it." You know,
That's
I've been
cool,
on
though.
A bunch of shows before, and they're like, "Yeah," and then of course, all the stuff doesn't get in
right,
the show.
Of course.
But it's so cool. So you know, and then we produced the animation for it, and we reused a bunch of characters we already had made.
Yeah.
And one of them was like the Super Pirate Crazy Easter Bunny that I do the voice of. So, it's weird because we shot it back in like end of September, and now it's finally airing.
Yeah, right.
I think because it was originally supposed to air like November, December. Then I think he had that whole lawsuit with apparently putting like drugs in someone's girl's like drink. So I guess they deleted
it. You know, Rehypnol, voice intestines.
Just a little rapey.
Police,
no big deal.
You know, judges and stuff.
Whatever.
Just slightly rapey?
Just a little rapey.
So, I think so. One episode they go to Vegas, try to do like a show. I don't know. It's weird. It's only 6 episodes too. So I don't know which one ours is going to air. I know it's not the first. But
that's cool though.
But it's on TBS on Monday night. So look for that. Go to superpirateyacht.com for all the
that's pretty awesome actually. I had a thought and it went right out my head. So
Not
I like,
in. No, that,
and,
struck
and it was,
my brain.
And it was totally on topic. And then you said rapey, and I just
I guess that's probably why I got. I've been on a couple. We were invited on 90210, the new one. They did a Comic-Con themed episode, and they wanted to have like actual. At the time, they didn't have the rights to anything, so they're like, well, we need to find someone who owns the rights to their property and have them have a booth there. So they got us, and then all of a sudden, last minute, like Marvel and Star Wars, like, oh sure, you can use our stuff. But like, it was
your
cool.
Your services are no
So
longer
we're like,
required.
Oh shoot, but you know, they there was a couple of big shots. You can see us in there and see Super Pirate logo really big, and then. Cool. And then we were did you guys remember our show on the Sci-Fi Channel called Collection Intervention? Okay. Well, it was originally called Master Collector. It was supposed to be showcasing people's like collection toys and stuff. And David, who's the co-creator, is biggest Transformer fan. He owns like almost every Transformer toy. So we implied and like, yeah, I was like, is it cool if we talk about our cartoon on there and stuff? They're like, yeah, sure. So we start filming, and they're like, oh, you know, there's going to be some format changes. They basically turn it into, like, an intervention where I'm coming after him thinking he has a problem collecting toys. You know? it was funny because I was like, okay, now I feel like I can make it as an actor because if you watch it, you really think, like, we actually really fight, and it's just – we're all just acting, you know. And then every scene where we're, like, plugging – because I'm basically like, you're collecting toys too much. It should be animated. Super Power Pretty on, you know.
Reality TV's fake?
I know. Jeez.
Sorry, I know.
I remember –
I'm sorry, Blaine. I'm sorry.
Back when I was in high school still, my mom and sister used to not get along very well. And they were watching Jenny Jones, and it was like,
oh, I totally would have.
If
back
you
then.
Have,
oh.
If you have, well, I can't even remember what the thing was, but you know, at the end of the shows, it was like, if you have this problem, call us to be on the show. And so even though they didn't get on, like the problem that was being posted, like they didn't have that issue necessarily. But my mom called, got a free trip to Chicago out of it.
Ooh.
Went on the show. Yeah, I hold my head in shame when I tell this story. And they were on there. But I think it was something about like moms and daughters not getting along. But the show that aired was not that. It was out of control teens. And when they got there, like – and my sister told me after the fact that like backstage, like they have somebody who gets the teens all fucking riled up and like, you know, tells them to be all like in their face about stuff. And then they have someone else, and they keep everyone isolated, and they have someone else getting the parents all riled up. So then they go out there, and then they brought like a drill instructor who came and like yelled at the kids and stuff. And I just like at some point, like my sister mentioned having a brother, and I was like, no, I don't exist to you people. I'm not like it was. Don't say my name. Just don't say my name. But they were so proud of it. Like they came back like we were on TV.
Yeah.
It's like no, you were on Jenny Jones. You need to calm down. But yeah, it's like
that's
it's
how
it
was
so...
for us. It was like, well, at least like we had Super Pirate in the background and it was on our shirt, it wasn't blurred out. And
yeah, but it's just
I got recognized a couple times for that actually.
The fact that like you go to do that and then they're like, well, okay, that's not what it said. It's gonna be an intervention.
You know, because they're like, oh, well, the title's gonna change, and now because it's funny because the lady that hired us on all of a sudden went to another show and this new one came in and started putting this new spin stuff on it, and we're like, oh, okay, well. We want the promotion for our show, so let's do it. And I get props from DeVito because he looks like really bad in the show. And they kept like, Steve, you're too nice to him. You're supposed to be like mean to him. I'm like, well, he's like one of my best friends. What do you want? It's like, you know. But it was still fun to do, though. So I was like, well, okay. So, you know, and then, you know, CeeLo Green came to us and it's like, okay, we'll do it as long as they make us look good, you know. And it's funny because the Goody Mob comes in. And of course, it's like in a fake office and, you know. Like, yeah, our manager told us you're the best animators in Hollywood. We're like, yes, we are. Yes, we are. And anybody out listening?
That's funny.
We produce Super Pirate Booty Hunt.
Yeah. Oh, I do remember my thought from earlier, actually. Yes. It was when you had mentioned that how long ago you had filmed the show.
Yes.
And I was thinking, like, yeah, it's funny because we were at Kamikaze last year. And the cosplay contest that they did last year aired as the season premiere for Heroes of Cosplay on Sci-Fi.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so weird to think about. I was like, that was last year.
Yeah.
And it's now on TV. Like,
right.
It's interesting because the Collection Intervention filmed and aired a month later, you know, and then now why do these take forever?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just like a scheduling thing or you know, what the situation is, but yeah, that's kind of weird. But definitely. I'm going to check this out when it comes out because I want to see how they treat you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all how they edit, you know.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
I hear music.
It's that time again.
Hey-o.
It's commercial break time.
Roadhouse.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Mr. Steven Sievers about more...
Super Pirate Booty Hunt!
Well, we'll be talking. I don't think he has a voice any longer after that. If you have any questions for him or just want to join the conversation, give us a call, 909-989-0789, or message us on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds. We'll be right back.
It's uncensored. It's live 24/7. It's chaoticradio.com.
Epic. Mind-blowing. That's how the world responded last year to DC Comics The New 52. The biggest game changer in comics history. Now these best-selling landmark stories starring Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, The Flash, Aquaman, and the world's greatest superheroes are available as 52 graphic novels, making these books your perfect starting point. If you've never read a comic book but love the DC characters in films, TV, and video games, or if you're a fan who's been away for a while, this is your time. Join in the excitement of DC Comics The New 52 at Four Color Fantasies Comic Book Store, located at 8045 Archibald Avenue, Suite 120 in Rancho Cucamonga, California. The best place to find DC Comics, graphic novels, and collectibles. Or check them out on the web at www.fourcolorfantasies.com and see what you've been missing.
What's up, guys? Tune in every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Blaine Humble Show. That's right. Check me out every morning, 8 to 11, as we break down all things news, all things sports, all things topical, all the things that you want to know more about. Oh, and I get to do it in my weird way. The phone number for you to call in is 909-989-0789. That's 909-989-0789. Again, be sure to join me every weekday morning from 8 to 11, The Blaine Humble Show, only on chaoticradio.com.
If you're looking for a fun night out, check out the Etiwanda Roadhouse, located conveniently off the 210 freeway in Day Creek at 12853 Highland Avenue in Rancho Cucamonga. For food and fun, it doesn't matter what day of the week it is, the Roadhouse has you covered. With happy hour all day Sunday through Tuesday, a lunch menu 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, and nightly food specials including Build-A-Burger Mondays, Taco Tuesdays, Wing Wednesdays, Thursday Steak Nights, and Barbecue Sundays featuring NFL Sunday Ticket on 14 flat screens. Oh, and did I forget to mention live music and dancing on Friday and Saturday nights? Check us out on Facebook for news and event information at facebook.com/eroadhouse. That's facebook.com/eroadhouse. The Etiwanda Roadhouse, a gathering spot since 1927.
I really wish I could get a P.O. box without going to the post office.
Postal Annex in Laverne.
I need to get a live scan for my new job.
Postal Annex in Laverne.
Dude, I gotta ship out my auction package.
Postal Annex in Laverne. I have been telling these kids for months,
Postal Annex in Laverne has everything you need under one roof. Go to 1502 Foothill Boulevard or call them at 909-896-6110. UPS, FedEx, notary services, P.O. boxes, live scan, packaging material, copies, fax service, and much, much more. Postal Annex Laverne is the only place I need to handle all of my business. And isn't my business a little bit more important than yours? Call them today, 909-596-6110. Postal Annex in Laverne. It's all you need to know.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing brings a bigger smile to my face than cooking up a big meal for the whole family and lots of friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in our country who struggle with hunger. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids. But they can't do it without your help. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The game is afoot, Watson.
But Holmes, you've already captured Moriarty.
Not here, Watson. I'm talking about over at The Dinner Detective, America's largest interactive murder mystery comedy dinner show, where you can enjoy a delicious four-course plated dinner while you solve a hilarious murder case. And a tantalizing prize package awaits the top sleuth of the evening. Sounds like a good time, Watson. Pick us up some tickets.
But how do I do such a thing, Holmes?
It's elementary, Watson. Visit their website at www.thedinnerdetective.com or call them at the box office, 855-633-0080.
Could I get that one more time, Holmes?
Oh, Watson. The website again is www.thedinnerdetective.com and the box office number is 855-633-0080. And if you're picking up tickets for the Ontario location, use the promo code CRIME to receive a $5 discount.
Well, I'll get right on it, Holmes.
Excellent, old boy. I'll be here playing my violin.
But Holmes...
When it comes to your vehicle maintenance, we know you have a lot of options. But with so many options, it can be hard to find an honest and reliable shop. That's where Mike's Automotive comes in. At Mike's Automotive, we have a commitment to honest service at a reasonable price. Located in the heart of Upland, Mike's Automotive is ready to prove to you that honest auto repair still exists. So for starters, bring your car in for any major service and your oil change is on us. Call for an appointment today, 909-373-3040. That phone number again is 909-373-3040. Or find us on the web at mikesautomotiveandtire.com.
Gee, Blaine, what do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every Sunday night, Pinky. Listen to the Jack of All Nerds show on Chaotic Radio.
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Tonight we have Steven Severs from...
SuperFireBootyHunt.com. I had to do something new.
That's not... he changes it up a little bit.
He does every time. It's new.
That's what I do.
In the studio with us talking about...
Super Pirate Booty Hunt!
Super Pirate Booty Hunt!
Actually, I liked that last one. I thought it was going to get into a song right there.
Yeah, like, I thought it was too.
Super Pirate Booty Hunt.
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 Let's get a twerk team in here, guys. We're good to go.
Where's Miley? No. Anyway.
Yes.
Hello. Wow. Now, so Super Pirate Booty Hunt, aside from being...
That was so sad.
Web...
So sad.
Aside from being the web series, it's also a you said book. It's a comic book.
Yes, we've done so two comics.
Was the comic easier to make than
the first one was? Because we used a lot of from what we already had in the animation, and then this last one, we're like, well, let's try something new and different, and it took a lot longer.
How long are the issues?
There's two comics and two stories in each. So, So one story usually goes around something in time and music saves lives. Mm-hmm. So it's all about getting people to donate blood. And then the second one's usually – it's only two pages, but it's usually just a funny Super Pybria, you know. Super Pybria, huh? I'm sorry. I didn't do it there.
Is it like – is it like a direct, I guess, translation from the cartoon? Or yeah. Is it – okay.
Yeah, it's almost like word to word, you know, something new stuff. So, but it's cool because for me, like, just having something to hold as a comic and seeing Daniel Turtle and Zach and all the characters on it. So, like, I got Turtle wristband and necklace, but I don't know. As a huge comic fan, it's just cool having your own comic, you know? So,
yeah. Sure. No, I feel
so
that.
So, you come get it this Friday the 13th from 7 to 9 at Golden Apple Comics, where voice of SpongeBob, Tom Kenny.
Is there a cost for the comics?
It's absolutely free.
Yeah, that's the best price.
That's always the best price.
And if you don't want to wait in line, you can go to MusicSavesLives.org and sign up to be a very important donor. And you go out and basically donate blood. You can bring your card, cut the line.
So, nice.
What?
Yeah. So we reward heroes, as we say. Be a hero. Go donate blood.
Front of the line passes.
Yeah. You get a fast pass for
yeah, basically. I should do that angle to it. So.
Now, aside from the comp or the feature length movie that you're trying to get, you know, in production, is the goal to continue the comic book as well?
Yeah,
as
I would love to do, because I liked how in the Marvel movies they always do like a prequel comic kind of fill in. So that would be my goal for the feature film, to have like prequel comics leading up to the storyline to it. So
awesome.
Yeah. So. I hope so. I got to get the freaking script done first.
Yeah. And I know it sounds like a lot of this is right now. It's just riding on the two of your shoulders. But I guess.
My coworker at Continuum Motion Pictures, which I'm now a producer for, he's actually helping me write. Because writing a feature film script is a lot different than writing, like for, you know, animated web series or TV. You know, it's definitely a lot different art form to it. So. I've probably gone through probably about like 20 different drafts on this script so far, and I feel like we're finally close. So, but it's funny because I think it's great having Danny on board, because from an outsider, for me and David, we're so attached to these characters. We've been developing it, you know, more as for like a TV, like long season arc, which has a lot of characters in it, and you can't have that in like feature film. It's basically three TV episodes together, an hour and a half. So. The thing I learned in screenwriting class back in college was you gotta learn to kill your babies. So I was like, oh, I really like that joke. Anyway, we can fit that in there, and it's like, okay, it doesn't really go along with the story arc. And I'm always like thinking, because like a lot of my nerd friends are really critical of movies. I'm always thinking, okay, well, I know that this nerd friend's gonna hate this part of the film. But, you know, this doesn't make sense. What are you talking about? You know, so. So I was like, well, okay, you know, it's going to be one shot to present to investors, so I got to have a really good script. So
Yeah.
Actually, I think that's the good sign of any entertainer is knowing when to be able to, I guess, edit yourself.
Yeah. Because,
yeah, you're always going to have those bits that to you, you're just like, this is great. I love this. But, you know, you got to know when to pull it back.
And one thing, we're also a distribution company, and we distribute, which is what I got the documentary distributing on. So we had content sent into us that I had to screen, and it really like hit me, because I was like, man, this isn't funny. It's the same inside joke from his friends over and over again. I don't get it. And so I was like, oh, that's I do that for a lot of my writing, where I write like stuff my friends and I laugh at, but not the general public's not going to know about.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You
know. Yeah, I hate reviewing other people's work. I've written a number of screenplays, and I used to try to. There's a thing called Trigger Street that was started by Kevin Spacey.
Oh yeah,
it was basically like a peer review site.
Oh yeah,
and I guess like they had like a period of time where every, let's say week or yeah, I think it was every week or month or something like that. But whoever was in the top 10, they would. Like Trigger Street would step in, and they would like help people like get their stuff, get their projects produced in some way. And but it was one of those things where you had to earn points to have other people review your thing by reviewing other people's work.
Oh my god.
I gave up because there was so many awful scripts that I had to read through.
Yeah.
I just like, oh.
I've been there. I was a judge for like a screenwriting, like some film festival, and they're like they put on some alum from my school and like, oh, can you do this? I was like, sure. And then like sent me in the mail like 20 different schools. And I got through like five, and I was like, okay, this one's about zombies. This one wins. You know, it's like, cause all of them are just so bad. You know, it's like, I can't get, it's hard, man. It's, and yeah. I feel bad criticizing because, you know, as a screenwriter, it's hard, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, and that's true. You'll say, cause you're, what gives me the right to yeah, tell you your work
yeah,
or shit?
Right.
I just don't like it. Like, that doesn't mean it's, you know, maybe
it just might not be for
yeah,
you.
Maybe
you
that's know, my so. Opinion.
But then, like he was saying, where it's like someone just writes something for their friends, and yeah. then they're like, oh, yeah, no, everybody will love this. And it's like, well, no, like, the joke you and your friends do just in your little circle, like, that doesn't play to anybody else. Like, nobody yeah. gets this.
Yeah. Actually, I think all of America could do with a little more honesty amongst friends and family, because I feel like that's where you, American Idol gets all its ratings is from yeah. the people who can't sing and somebody told them you're going to be a star and then they really like you should have just been honest with that person or
that is true
or gotten them some training to you know what I mean
we have way too many participation trophies in our lives
yeah
now, so
yeah well, and the same with
I'm glad that's why I like working with the guys now because the first couple of scripts I was like oh this is gold this is gonna be a huge movie and then they'd be like yeah, this is terrible this makes no sense there's no story arc here and I'm like oh man you're right I'm just throwing all the jokes I like in there and it doesn't you know so
yeah and you know that fairly well with stand-up comedy that you have to bits and
comedy's a little bit more brutal because you don't get any kind of filter. You don't get to do drafts really. Like
you just
you know what I mean?
Stage.
Like you just your draft is
hey, eating... can you read this draft of my routine?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Your draft is eating shit in front of people. Like that's your oh, that doesn't work? Okay, well, I'll go rewrite it and come back and do it again. Like that's
everyone stay that's here. Brutal. I'll be off stage. I'll be back in a minute.
You don't have a group that you work out your acts with, like other comedians?
They're called open mics, and they're awful. But that's essentially what it is.
Fuck
is,
practice, right?
That's the thing.
No, like open mics are like that's essentially what they are. But it's not. It's usually a pretty negative environment, just because it's a bunch of comedians that aren't listening. And aren't paying attention, so you're almost better off just doing it in front of a mirror.
Is it a lot? Is that a lot of F you then, and on to the next joke.
yeah, pretty much. A lot of times you're doing it when you do it in my open mics. You're doing it just to hear how it sounds coming out of your mouth, not even necessarily to see whether or not it's funny. It's just to see if like, okay, can I say it, and does it actually sound like something that could work. And that's really all you're doing.
Do you actually practice in front of a mirror?
No, I've never practiced in front of a mirror. That's just weird. It's weird to me.
But speaking of harsh critics, YouTube. I mean, that's where you guys are series in, and I mean, I have a number of videos posted on YouTube, and it can be a brutal place.
Oh yeah,
to post
and
stuff.
I haven't got the line of many negative comments on there, and that's why I've kept going with
but
it.
That's
so,
good. I mean, that's great.
And that's why the web is a good thing to test like that, where it's like – and that's why I've been going at this for so long, because every year it's something new to, like, keep it going, you know. So I haven't moved on to any other projects yet, so I don't have any time to.
Are there goals in the future? Like, are you planning to just, like, ride the – Super Pirate Booty Hunt.
Yeah, no, I got other script ideas in development. Not that much, though. So I'm, but I, you know, the company's like, you got to think what's after this. Cause like, I'm like, well, I've been banging my head on the table for this for so long. It's hard to think of what's the next project afterwards. So.
Right.
But actually, finally, been doing it. So nothing too, everything's like really rough right now. So,
yeah. I mean, I haven't watched every episode of it, though. I watched a few, and I like the animation. I think it looks really clean, everything you guys have done.
David did what was amazing.
I appreciate a good shark dick joke. So.
Yeah.
not bad. Not bad. I enjoy a good shark dick joke.
That's our very first episode we did, and it's still both our favorites. We always talk when someone asks, like, which one's your favorite? I'm like, I love Bites. You know, it's like, it's only a minute long, but it's nails what the show's
funny.
About.
It's very funny.
You know?
Yeah, but I think that's for YouTube.
Yeah.
Keeping them a minute to 2 minutes is actually like
and
probably
that,
your best
yeah,
bet.
Yeah, and that was our goal because I know how people have low attention spans because I do, especially when I watch stuff on the web. After a minute, if I'm not into it, I okay, what's related? Okay, let me search this. You know, so.
Even if it's really good, if you start pushing the 4 or 5 minute mark, I'm kind of like, eh.
Yeah, we never – I think five – well, with credits, I think it was close to 5 minutes was our – no, it was like 4:30. So.
Yeah.
But that was our longest one.
Yeah, you're right. For the 4 or 5 minute mark, you're but, like, look, I'm just watching this while my porn buffers.
Come on.
Right. Let's speed this along. But you wasted 30 seconds with your fucking ad, so.
Yeah. The only thing I hate is just you can't really tell – much of story in that time period.
It's just
you got to get to the jokes and that's about it. So it's like I have a big, like I said, the whole superhero background story to him. Like I have barely even touched in the web, but we're actually in the future movie. We're going to be able to, so.
Yeah. And that'll be nice. But yeah, it is when it's that short, it really is. You're just doing a bit.
Yep.
You're just doing a joke. And that's what I'm learning with the comic strip that I've recently been able to get in off the ground with the Dark Crusader. It's 3 panels and it really is like, it's, one joke. I just got to get
that's short. What was like our 2-page story. It's like, okay, what can we show that's funny in 2 pages of comics? Yeah.
But I mean, it does. It forces you to think about things differently. And it's like, because I started the Dark Crusader as a short little video.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's all these great jokes, but it's like, okay, just calm down.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Let's get to this one punchline and yeah.
It's hard because you get invested in the characters and it's like, wow, I really want this joke or I really want this scene in there. You know, it's being an artist, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's the same thing with this movie. There's a lot of stuff that I, you know, script ideas I wanted and it just, I was like, okay. That's what Danny's really good at telling, like, story. Like, okay, movie, it's got to be 3 acts, you know, it's like, and like, I was like, okay. I want this scene here, this character that okay, doesn't really fit. I'm like, oh, damn it, you're right. It's
like, you know. Yeah.
Now, is the talking turtle, is that the only, like, animal that's going to be a talking character in the...
Well, we have a talking bunny, because the crazy bunny, which I did a voice. You can tell my inner Joker comes out there.
Very much so right there.
Yeah, yeah, which really kills my voice every time. I've done him twice. He was in our Holiday Fight Club episode.
Holiday Fight Club.
Yeah, Fox was running a contest that we entered. We didn't want to win because that means Fox would own the rights to your thing. But we wanted to get – you know, we actually got a lot of fan base out of it. And it had to be a holiday-themed thing. So like, oh, okay, it's all about like coming together during holidays. So like, okay, let's do like you know, a Thunderdome version where all the holiday mascots are fighting over Cupid's arrow. So, and our pirate, he wants it because if he gets Cupid's arrows, he can get any girl and get the booty, you know. So
makes sense.
Yeah. So that's where the bunny first, and then I liked him a lot, so we reused him in our episode we did with Dave Mustaine and Megadeth, and he's like a backstage bunny. Where this janitor convinces our pirate that this Jiffy John is a time-traveling Jiffy John. If you get into it, you can go back in time and learn under the gods of metal.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's our, you know, Bill and Ted Excellent Adventure version.
That's funny.
So, and that's not a time travel, Jiffy John, is it? But then it really was.
You had mentioned, I think probably off air, or maybe it was, I think it was in a message actually, that you're a big fan of Kevin Smith.
Yes.
What is your favorite Kevin
Mallrats.
Smith? Mallrats. It's a good choice.
It is a good choice.
It's a very good choice.
Because I actually met him at Comic-Con. I'm like, why do you always rage on Mallrats? Like, I love that film.
That's
because he always jokes is that like the worst one.
It's because it didn't do well.
I know
it didn't do well at all.
But,
yeah.
Like, you know, I think it like had a second life on like DVD or VHS.
Yeah, it was another one of the, like, just like Clue. Yeah. Clue didn't do well when it came out. And
right.
So they get this cult following fact.
Yeah. Mallrats is a cult classic.
Yeah.
I would agree that Mallrats is a cult classic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back's a close second. You know, it's like
I would go with Clerks just because it was the first Kevin Smith movie that I saw, and it reinvented the way I use foul language.
Oh yeah.
Just because of when I saw it and I was like, jizmopper, that's the greatest term I've ever heard in my life.
I actually saw that when it first came out when I was way too young to understand anything that was going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I like thought it was terrible. And then in high school, a friend introduced me to Mallrats, and I was like, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
And And then I went back and watched all this stuff again. Yeah. Like, oh, okay.
I think I saw Clerks when I was either in eighth or ninth grade. Something like that. When it was, you were just like, you're just starting to learn how to cuss properly. Like,
yeah.
Because anytime before that, like, you just hear those words. Like, you ever hear a kid cuss and you're like, ah, I'm proud of you for using that word, but it doesn't make any sense there at all.
I play Xbox. I hear kids curse all the
time. Yeah.
Oh, my God, Jesus.
You want to give them the high five for using it, but not correctly. Like, so you're getting right to that age where you can kind of start to use fuck appropriately. And then you get introduced to something like Clerks, and it just, it shatters your vocabulary. It really just ruins everything about the way you thought cursing was supposed to go.
I think it's Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, the beginning where they show the flashback to when they're the kids, the babies. Oh, yeah. So
They dubbed over that, actually.
I guess I'm so desensitized to the amount of language that's in the films.
Yeah.
I attempted to show this movie to my dad.
He's not like
a prude about language, but like, I think my younger brother was in the room too. And the movie starts out, and I'm thinking, this is – because out of all of his movies, I think that one's the most tame.
Yeah.
And then it just opens up with fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yeah, I was just like – I remember watching that. My parents walked in. What are you watching?
My jaw hit the floor, and I was like –
Motherfucker, noise.
Yeah, I was like, it tails off right after this.
My mom's a Catholic school teacher, and she's easily offended.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that was bad, but the worst was she walked in when I was watching Clockwork Orange. And this is the first time I rented it, or, like, in middle school when everyone's telling you about it. And she's like, why are you watching this?
I think I got in trouble for watching Clerks the first time because we got it, and we were watching it, and I think my friend's mom came in. And it doesn't matter where you come in Clerks. Like,
yeah,
it's all
exactly.
And she like freaked out and she got all mad at us for like wanting to watch this movie. But
how can you watch it?
The damage was it was already done. We'd already seen like half of it. So yeah.
Yeah.
Did either of you ever see the Clerks cartoon? The animated series?
Yeah, yeah. It was great.
I own it.
I did too.
I own it. Yeah,
I love it.
It's great.
I have a signed DVD copy.
Yeah. I think the only Kevin Smith movie I don't own. Is Chasing Amy.
See, I grew up in Maryland. I used to go to this music festival up in Asbury Park, New Jersey, called Skate and Surf. So I always drive up. It was like 20-minute drive to Red Bank. I forget whatever.
Red Bank.
Thank you. Where Jay and Savob's Secret Stash is.
Oh yeah.
I always go up there, and then they would have like every DVD that Kevin Smith even just produced, and then it was all pre-signed, you can buy them. So I got everything. I mean, even his movie called Drawing Flies that he worked on.
A friend of mine actually ordered two copies of the Clerks 2 poster autographed by him.
Oh, really?
He gave one to me for my birthday. I have it framed somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's where I bought the Clerks animated because they only aired two, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, right.
And it was so good.
It's so weird though that it was ABC.
Yeah, I feel like if it was on anywhere else, it would have done really well. Yeah.
I don't understand how like an ABC exec could have watched Clerks and been like, you know what, this will go great on our family network.
This would be a great cartoon for children.
And then we'll have Clerks in Disneyland.
feels like something that should be nestled in the Simpsons Family Guy block of television. Right.
It's like an Adult Swim show at 12:15.
Yeah.
It's only 15 minutes long. Like
my favorite running gag from each of the episodes was at the beginning. It was like Clerks is filmed in front of a live studio audience. And then it would change each time. It was Clerks is drawn in front of a live studio audience. And then I think one was Clerks is drawn by a live studio audience.
Yeah. Oh,
that's great.
Go home and watch that now. I haven't seen that in a while.
Great. Yeah, it's really great.
Well, it appears that we are almost out of time.
It's been too much fun. A
few minutes left, so I want to give you a chance to give mention to all the links and stuff
to check out. Yeah, thanks again for having me on.
No problem.
So, this was a blast. You can watch our animated episodes at superpowerbeat.com or search on YouTube. Our documentary, Superpowerbeat, the documentary, is now released on iTunes on the Matriarch TV app, and I'll be coming to Hulu and Netflix in 3 to 5 months, who knows. And you can follow me on Twitter at Steve Sears for all the news. And like I said, we're doing our free comic book signing this Friday, June 13th at Golden Apple Comics with voice of SpongeBob himself, Tom Kenny. And he actually guest stars as himself in the comic book, which will be turned into a motion comic that will premiere at our San Diego Comic-Con after party we are hosting with the charity Music Saves Lives, and it's going to be July 24th at the Stage Bar on downtown San Diego on 5th Street. And catch me on TBS on The Good Life, or CeeLo Green's The Good Life. The first episode airs June 23rd at 10:30, I believe. And go to superhardy.com for info. Right. And like us on Facebook, facebook.com. Right.
And that's and it's super, S-U-P-A.
Yeah, so I wanted it to be a little different. Originally, it was super pirate booty. Yeah,
it's like Arnold saying it. Super.
Super. It's super pirate booty.
Wow.
I don't know what that was.
That was very Silent of the Lambs right then.
I don't know what that was. I don't know what just happened.
Lotion on his skin.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
Do you have anything upcoming that you need to...
I will be in Virginia next week. From the 15th to the 18th.
Where in Virginia?
Virginia Beach.
Oh, Virginia Beach. Nice. Yeah. They got some cool haunted houses though.
Do they really? Yeah. Oh, okay. Awesome. Yeah, my friend will take me around. So I'm featuring for him. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then on June 19th, I will be in Bakersfield. And then I think it's just nerd stuff from here on out.
Yes. Yeah. Once again, we have E3. You said.
So, well, you play Xbox. What games do you play?
Right. Currently, I've been playing Titanfall and Grand Theft Auto 5.
I'm a huge Call of Duty fan.
4, 5, like that.
I love Call of Duty.
Well, and that's what Titanfall is, Call of Duty with giant mechs.
Oh,
that's basically what it is. So, yes. And so we will be podcasting once again live at the. Well, not live. I mean, we'll be there live.
We'll be live.
But the podcast will be out after the fact. But at the midnight screening of Batman Returns at the Vista Theater.
I'm so excited.
For ticket information, go to facebook.com/nerdslikeus. And it's going to be a good time. So also check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter if you're not already, @jackofallnerds. And this episode will be available on our website in podcast form at www.jackofallnerdspodcast.com and also available on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search Jack of All Nerds Podcast. So, Steven, once again, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's a great song to go out of.
Blaine, thank you for filling in.
Yes, sir.
You're welcome. You're beautiful. This has been the Jack of All Nerds. We will talk at you later.